especially for the homecoming weekend, and in tribute to the late Dr. Doug Hawkins, we present an interview concerning his book, The History of Troy University, first heard January 12, 2014.
On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
It's my great privilege to welcome a longtime friend and mentor to On the Bookshelf, and that is Dr. Doug Hawkins. And he has been involved with Troy University for a very long time. It's been my privilege to know him personally as well as professionally, and we have a common love for the university. You grew up in Laverne, and so you've been in the area long, but you went on the Board of Trustees in 1980. And you've been on the Board of Trustees ever since. You've seen huge changes and wonderful things coming to the university. You've been a big part of that. You've been chairman of the Board of Trustees, hired the current chancellor. You've been involved in all these things. He's got a new book about not only Troy University, but also gives his background on the city of Troy, which is awfully important if you're going to understand why the university is so important to Troy. It's called Turning Points, The History of Troy University by Dr. R. Douglas Hawkins. And where can people find copies of your book, Dr. Hawkins?
Okay, the book is at Barnes & Noble at the university. It's at the Alumni House at the university.
Okay.
It's at Troy Antiques right down the street from where we are on the corner.
All right.
It's at Jean's Flowers, and it's at Troy Animal Clinic. And anywhere anybody wants to purchase one and leave it, and I'll be glad to sign it and you know, let them pick it up later.
Very good. Now, I'm from outside of Troy. I came here 40 years ago to be in Johnny Long's band, and I met a local girl who you know very well, and you know their family very well, and we got married, and we've been here ever since. And so it's been my privilege to be kind of on the outside looking in for a long time about what was happening at the university. It's been your privilege to be on the inside looking at what's going on at the university. Do you want to tell us a little bit, kind of a thumbnail sketch of the city of Troy and some of the really critical things? We were talking before the interview about the mayors who have had the most critical influence on the growth of Troy as a city and as a home for Troy University.
Well, I think it's real important to realize that the first mayor, Urban Jones, wanted to bring a railroad here and spent basically his life and lost his fortune bringing that railroad here. And without the railroad coming to Troy, State Normal School, Dash Troy would have never existed. The railroad was very, very important because, first of all, it was the transportation to get to school.
Right.
And, you know, and the train station, you just walked off about 50 steps and there you were. But really later on, although being bound in, the noise of those trains coming through was the one reason we had to move. I mean, you know, if you've ever been down to the Cultural Art and trying to talk with someone and one of those trains comes through, you know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Very interesting. But while we're talking about mayors, I did want to mention Charles Henderson. Really, he just did so much for education, so much for Troy, so much for the state of Alabama. But he's the reason we're not on Orion Street, which we had the plans and everything to go out there, but his eyes were bigger, mm-hmm. and he wanted us to be out where we are now on the farm that was bought, and vision. And another thing about Charles Henderson, if you'll notice, everything he did was Spanish. The house he did,
right,
where First Baptist Church is on the corner there, Spanish,
mm-hmm.
and he built the lab school at the new site for Troy State College. He built it in Spanish style. Of course,
right.
It's gone now because it looks so different.
Yeah.
But, you know, that had to be done in the shade of the night because, you know, everybody loved the lab school.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful, beautiful building. And we do have reproductions.
Right, right.
And then I want to mention Jimmy Longford. So he's done a lot to support the university.
All three of these guys were pivotal in the changes that came to Troy that set things up for the university to be the eventually the university. Of course, most folks who know anything about the university know that it was originally a normal school, which is what they called schools that taught people how to be teachers.
Right, and very, very needed. And I didn't mention about Jimmy Longswood, but the city's support, you know, gave us the opportunity to go Division I because of facilities. I mean, you know, you don't just walk in and...
And just declare you're going to be Division I. You have to have the facilities of a certain size.
Yep. And, you know, the city of Troy and Troy University has always been together on sharing things. And, you know, in the stadium, it was one of the things, you know, we've always shared.
Right. I was interested in learning from your book that the city of Troy school system is a whole lot older than I would have expected either. It really goes back almost to the beginning of the normal school, and the fact that the city system was tied in with the normal school and later all the growth of what became Troy University. This has been a good symbiotic relationship all along.
Well, one thing you have to realize is too, that the churches were a lot of the schools. And when you think back on that, that was an organization that was sitting there. Nobody basically was educated. I mean, you know, to have an education was, you're really something. An education. So there were 13 different schools at the time the State Normal School Troy was organized. And, you know, I always thought College Street was named after Troy, but it was named after a school at the end of going west at the end where the Episcopal Church is. Mm-hmm. And it sat there. So, and we have a picture looking back toward going east, but we don't have a picture looking at that school. But that was an academy.
And, okay.
All of it is really interesting. It's really interesting the vision that these people had. Without the train, you'd have to come on a mule.
Yeah.
walk.
That's right, because it was the days before cars.
Oh, yeah, cars.
And even after the normal school gets established, it's still a long time before cars are a common occurrence.
And, you know, there were four normal schools. There was Sherfield, Jacksonville, West Alabama, and Troy. And, you know, at one time, everybody felt we were all equal. But I'm really proud that Troy has jumped way ahead of them. And you know, I think it's due, to the vision of Dr. Adams and Dr. Hawkins. Mm-hmm. You know, no chance, no gain. Probably.
Right.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
and you know, you've got to step out if you're going to be recognized. You got to show your colors and everything. So those two men, really, we need thankful for where we are today. Although, you know, Dr. Stewart was the one before them, and mm-hmm. then Dr. Smith,
right.
who really, in the book, in the appendix, is his autobiography.
Yes.
And if you ever feel sorry for yourself,
you need to read that.
And then if you're not sorry for yourself, I want to talk to you.
That's right.
I want to break a leg or do something. Because, you know, that's so amazing. And my mother went to Troy Normal and talked with Dr. Smith.
Wow.
In Crenshaw County, so I knew him, mm-hmm. which was, and he lived on the same street I lived on, and, you know, we'd run across it.
Right.
And then Dr. Stewart, of course, came, you know, when Smith retired and, you know, didn't stay long, had an untimely death.
Right, right.
But I got to know him because we were trying to start the fraternity system, trying to have colonies here.
Right.
And he approved that and then died untimely. And then Dr. Raff came, but Dr. Raff was a Lamb of Chi, so he understood fraternities, you know, mm-hmm. you know, pretty good. And that was really, and, you know, he always wanted SAE and Chi-O. I mean, you know, there's several right. things that Raff was always on his mind. Phi Beta Kappa. If I ever went to him, it was Phi Beta Kappa. How are we going to get Phi Beta Kappa?
Right. And he was responsible for getting ODK here, too, wasn't he?
Yes, and that was, you know, he reached out for a lot of things for our students. It's real interesting. I was pretty young then and really didn't understand as much of it as I do today.
Sure. Well, of course, I personally appreciate the fact that he hired Dr. Johnny Long from Lee High School, where he'd been a standout high school band director. They bought him cars and everything else. But when they brought him here, he'd never been a college band director before. And he took a chance on him, and that was a chance that paid off enormous benefits.
Oh, yeah. And we got a new building that we have to dedicate, I think, in January.
Right.
But to me, it's the prettiest building on campus,
yeah.
inside and out.
It's a beauty.
It is one gorgeous building. It's kind of cramped in, but we got to be cramped in. And
that's right.
Every student brings two cars and three cell phones with them, so yeah. we got to have
that's the truth. Room. Well, we're talking, in case you're just listening, to Dr. Doug Hawkins, who has a new book about Troy University called Turning Points, which is available all over the community, including such places as Barnes & Noble and Troy Animal Clinic, Jean's Flowers, the antique store on the square just down from WTBF, and a number of other locations. And the book is loaded with pictures. And one of the things that I enjoyed is that you gave credit to some of the people who had written previous books about the university. And I've been privileged to review, I think, all of the ones that came before this one. But you've really done a better job in bringing all of those ideas together, and I think you have more pictures than anybody else too. You guys really did a lot of research.
That was a lot of work done to get those pictures. I thought this was 6 months and I was going to be bored to death for it the last 6 months. It was 2.5 years. But there was so much help from so many people, you know, the university and the town people and everything. And just the postcards were just, you know, just wonderful to get that kind of postcards.
Those wonderful old style postcards that are reproduced in the book.
Well, we wanted all the chancellors and presidents, you know, are portraits. That's the kind of thing. So they all had to be in color, you know, to be effective. So that meant the book had to all be in color, which because of the way the pages lay out, you couldn't color them, because you color 8 pages and you can skip 8 pages. But I mean, you know, anyway, that had to be that. But I think those pictures are really good. And it's really interesting, the people that, you know, that preceded.
Yes. It's fun to look at the football team from 1923 or the tennis team from 1920 and so forth, and see the kind of things that people wore as uniforms, the women's teams and the men's teams, what they wore as uniforms then as opposed to now is pretty interesting. And the hairdos on the 1970s men's track team is a pretty interesting picture as well. I remember those kind of hairdos. You've been on the board since 1980, and you've seen a lot of changes. You've seen a lot of improvements, and you've also seen some things that were ideas that were floated and that did not come to fruition. And it's in the long run, it's good that they did. And one of the things you talked about, and I remember this, is that at one point Dr. Adams was considering the idea of sort of a merger with the University of Alabama, feeling like it would be good for Troy because Troy has never been, except during the Governor Wallace years, because of his association with Ralph Adams when they were going back to college together. Except for those years, the university has never really gotten much money-wise. As you refer to it now, we're not state-supported anymore, we're state-assisted. 20% of our budget comes from the state.
Well, it's real interesting. When we turned from Troy State College into Troy State University, and I think my figures are accurate, we jumped about 1,000 students. And it was just the barrel was taken off. The candle, I mean, you know, basket taken off. And I'm thinking we had around 2,500 regular at that point. I mean, we wasn't big. It made a big impact. And the biggest thing about it, what I think, was we got our own board of trustees. Now, we were under the state board of trustees, and the state board, you know, we didn't have anybody from Troy. We had one from Ozark, I remember. But we were like the red-headed stepchild. I mean, we, you know, Troy couldn't get anything. We still don't have equity funding. I mean, you know, which is unreal. We don't. But it's all politics. But becoming a university was really, really big. It would be great to have a your diploma said University of Alabama, Troy. But we want to stand on our own. We want to be Troy. And I love Mike Amos always saying, "We are Troy." I mean, you know, and everything. And we would have been under control. It's kind of like UAB. I feel sorry for UAB today.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, great, stuck. great school and great, better than great anything you can say about the medical facilities.
Oh, But top rate.
They don't have the representation. You know, they're really under, you know, the University of Alabama.
Right.
Which is just the way it's going to be maybe for a long time. But I've always thought, you know, they're so recognized in the South and probably in the United States. You know, UAB is really something, except they can't play football. But other than that,
I think that the controversy over Dothan wanting to be the anchor of the Troy University system, you go into detail about that in the book. That was very interesting. Once again, as somebody who was interested in the university, it was my alma mater. I've gotten a master's degree there by that time and all. I didn't want the university to move, main campus to move off Troy. And obviously, you guys got lots of feedback from the alumni, but you also had strong feelings about that too, as a board, not to move, that it was okay to make the campus better, and they certainly made extremely good improvements in the Dothan campus, but you guys felt like moving Troy's main campus to Dothan would mean a quantum change in the type of campus, in the type of university system that we have.
Oh yeah, and we still, you know, are very much into education and educating teachers, which, you know, is an important thing as anything in this world. You know, that's our future. We got to educate them. So we just felt like we could stand on our own 2 feet and fight. And Jack Hawkins had ran for governor and won. We'd be again in the driver's seat.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, it's been real interesting. You know, a lot of times you make decisions and you have no idea for sure how they're going to turn out. I think persistence and you know, looking forward and everything is just the way to be. And I'm so proud of our university. You know, we've raised the standards for our missions. I'm just so proud of, you know, where we rank and everything, mm-hmm. and rank in a lot of different areas. You know, best education and safest school.
Yeah. The percentage of our athletes, student athletes who graduate, is higher than any other university in the state. Yeah. That's something of which to be proud, because there are schools that will essentially hire athletes by giving them a scholarship, and they don't really care if they graduate as long as they perform for them. And Troy doesn't have that kind of attitude. We like to win, don't get me wrong, but we want our guys who come to school here to graduate too.
Well, Larry Blakeney, you know, has really developed some athletes. I mean, yeah. you can say what you please, but the two that came from the Auburn, Opa-locka area are just examples there of, my goodness, you can't go any further than those two have gone.
Yeah, that's right.
That's unreal.
Well, and he liked Don Maestri, the longtime basketball coach. What they were doing is trying to instill real values in their players, not just win at any cost, but train them to be future leaders. And those are the kind of things that matter.
It's been real interesting. Maestri got his 500th win, which we were, you know, just really, really proud of that. And you know, beat Mississippi State, first game ever played in Trojan Arena, you know, and it was big. Yeah. We've had some really, really great coaches.
Absolutely. Maybe it's important for us to explain a couple of terms that we've been using, and we know what they mean, but everybody may not realize. The difference between a college and university is the type of degrees that you can confer, and what one thing that you guys have been working so very hard against AIC, which is primarily controlled by people who graduated from Auburn or graduated from Alabama, and they don't want anything to come to Troy, is AIC seems, and you talk about them in the book in a way that, for those of us who are, in full disclosure, I teach journalism and music at the university now, we feel the same way about AIC that you feel about AIC, that pretty much describes the way that we feel about them. It's a perfect acronym. And they seem to go out of their way to try to deny us any opportunities to grow as a university by adding more degree programs.
Well, politics again, you got to understand that Auburn and Alabama run the show. We have got several on the board now, Troy, graduates and people that are leaning toward us, and we're trying to get our second doctoral degree. I mean, we bled for that first one. I mean, it was so unreal. It was just unreal, you know, for one man to say he changed his vote and for us to get it, which, you know, we were sitting in there, you know, really didn't think we were going to get it.
Yeah.
Because the people, when I say the people, the staff of AIC are so indoctrinated, and I don't use the word hate, but I'm going to say it. You know, schools like Troy University. Yeah. I mean, they're not going to give us anything. Whereas the Southern Association had already proved us for several. I mean, you
right.
know. And that's the big dog in the fight. But we're still in the state of Alabama. We're still under AIC. So it's been interesting, but thank goodness we're persistent again. And you know, we're going to do is I was down at Union of Florida International.
Right.
And talking to the president and everything, and I was trying to be big for Troy and everything. And so I knew we were getting one doctoral degree, and I was proud of that.
Sure.
I said, well how many doctoral degrees do y'all give? He said, 32. But, you know, it's going to take us, I won't ever live to see that day. Anyway, it was very interesting that they were given that many doctoral degrees. So you can imagine the kind of staff they have, because, you know, you don't have a regular staff from Luverne that's given, you know, the, you know, being able to educate and being able to give that degree.
I remember looking at a press guide when we first started playing North Texas, and it's not called that anymore. I think it's the University of Texas, North Texas or something.
Well, we play in Texas State now,
right.
But we play North Texas, and they are playing in the Cotton Bowl.
Right, and this is a huge school, and I didn't realize how big it was, because when I was starting college as a trumpet player, North Texas was one of the places I looked at going, because they had a wonderful jazz program, but they didn't have much else going on. And I thought they were probably a little bigger than they used to be. Well, I looked at the press guide for the football press guide, and they offered 40 doctoral degrees, and they had 36,000 students and stuff like on main campus. And I thought, oh my gosh, we're playing a school like this with the size that we are on main campus, and we're holding our own. That's an extraordinary thing. Yeah, and beating them.
Well, you know, it's interesting. After one player, Mean Joe Green, that they are the Mean Green, whatever that thing is, which is unreal that they have banked a lot on that. But they've just built a new stadium across the interstate from the other stadium, and they in it to stay, and my goodness, they in the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
My goodness, what would we give Troy to be in the Cotton Bowl?
That's the truth.
And one day, well, you know, we can be.
Yeah.
But we got to think big, and we got to keep moving on and being sure we get there.
Was that one of the tougher decisions that you guys made going to Division I? Because I know that there were people with very passionate opinions about it among the faculty and staff, among the general population, among alumni. And I know that there were a lot of people that were absolutely 100% in favor, but there were seemed like an equal number of people that were completely opposed and were very vocal about their opposition to it. Was that one of the tougher things that you guys have had to face?
I've always said a good decision is always a really tough decision. If it's an easy decision, you probably need to look around and see what you're making. But I never will forget, you know, we didn't have any way we were going to do this. We were meeting in Birmingham at Richie Scrooge's place, Help South, and which was elaborate, and sitting there, and we were talking about how we were going to sell 5,000 tickets for 3 years and how we were going to do this and going to do that. And Richard Scrooge pushed up, and said, "I'll buy 5,000 tickets for the next 3 years." And don't you think that turned
all of a sudden things changed?
I don't know that we would have ever, done it, because it was a big financial, decision, to make, but which I never thought about, which I'm the most proud about. When you're teaching at Troy University, you're teaching at a 1A university, which makes a lot of difference. You want a job to go somewhere else. You're teaching at a 1A university. And what we love, too, is the fact we never thought about this. You know, if our thing was, say, TSU, that could be Texas State, that could be Tallahassee State, that could be Tennessee State,
right,
that could be Turkey State. But anyway, every time you see on ESPN, on the sports, it's T-R-O-Y. You don't have to search out what does the T stand for, what does the R.
Right.
And it makes a lot of difference, because I see those things on there, and I'll have to think a while getting away from the game or whatever's going on, trying to figure who in the world
who
it
is that?
But we lucked out on that. But Troy,
And that was a tough one, too, because I know that there were people that felt very strongly about that. And part of it was the nostalgia. They called it TSU for so long. And people still do it all the time, don't they?
It's still. Well, like I said, any decision that's good is a hard decision. But if anybody had realized how many times that Troy had changed his name,
that makes it a lot easier, doesn't it?
And Troy was still kept in it.
All along, Troy has always been in the name.
Benny Beard, really was thinking that way, and we were trying. You know, we just felt like, if we were ever going to be anybody, that we had to do several things. One was to change the name, and one was to go to Division I.
Yeah.
And, it's proved, I think, to be really, really good. You know, that's not the ceiling. We're still working toward the ceiling. There's a lot of things that Troy University can do. It was just unreal to do your heart good to the deaf program that we have out there,
yes,
which is the only one in the state. And we had a graduate to come to us at the board, the last board meeting, and he was speaking, of course, with his hands, and he was and for him to come and to do that, and then we started clapping, and I turned over to the trustee next to him, and I said, he can't hear a word of this clapping.
Yeah.
I mean, it just
imagine what that would be like.
Feel so good that we had educated him. Helen Keller, which is my primary. I just think Helen Keller was really something else.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever they finally taught her touching in the hands and everything, and they were telling her about God, and she said she knew there was God, but she just didn't know his name. And I think that was just so touching, the fact.
That's powerful.
But, in that deaf school, what we've got will never be the greatest thing in the world, but if it helps 100 students to function in life,
then that's a wonderful thing.
It's more than a wonderful thing.
Yeah. I think about when Dr. Adams was here, the expansion into the military bases, and what an extremely successful program that's been, not just for Troy, but also for the military. I think at some point, I think it's been said that a third of the officers in the U.S. military, from essentially the grade of an Army or Air Force major on up, are Troy University graduates. That's an extraordinary thing.
Well, what really brought it to light was when I in Iran, when our helicopters went down, how many Troy Troy State at that time.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing. Of course, being in Maxwell, being in Montgomery and everything is, you know, because that's the elite.
Right.
You know, that's where the elites are.
Yeah.
And everything, which is real fortunate. But, of course, Dr. Adams was very, very military. He, it was amazing, you know, the way he was. And, of course, Dr. Jack, you know, decorated Marine.
Right, right.
And
combat
everything.
Vet.
And Dr. Smith's out there. He's, you know, but... military, and I think that's one of the things that's wrong with us today, is we don't have the compulsory military. I know that wouldn't be popular, but, but it trained, and you can really tell about by the way they walk.
Yeah.
If they've had the military training.
Yeah.
And but the worst thing is the fact that schools don't have PE to make you required to have PE, physical education.
Right.
I mean, you ought to know how to, when you graduate from Troy, know how to play tennis or know how to play golf.
Sure.
Or know how to bowl, know how to do some of this stuff that's going to get them a little better job with their boss.
Or get them, and get them off the couch and be healthier.
And the other one is, of course, Dr. Jack, the 121 program, you know, Chinese thing.
Right.
And, you know, for Troy University to be offering Mandarin Chinese, I mean,
whoever would have thought?
20 years ago, if you'd have said that, they would have sent you off to Tuscaloosa to the insane asylum. You said that Troy University is going to be teaching Mandarin Chinese. But the international students have really, really just put a flavor out here that's unreal. Now, it's not popular to everybody. When the Chinese first came here and they were walking down the middle of the road and had the umbrellas on, you know, it wasn't too good.
Right.
And the first time I went to China, it was bicycle country. I
mean,
I promise you, there was the cars. You'd look at the car.
out of the ordinary thing.
But anyway, it's really, really good, you know, for especially South Alabama, you know, for these students to be.
Yeah.
Because the world is so small now. I mean, my goodness. I was talking to Ron Drinker the other day, called him, and said something about some way what, and he was in China, and I didn't know it. I dialed him up, and he was in China. I said, "Well, let me get off this phone because I don't tell him what it's costing."
Well, you know, we've got study abroads going everywhere. I had the privilege last summer with Dr. Johanna Albrecht to lead the first study abroad to Cuba. We're taking our students all over the world, and students are coming to Troy from
and
all over the world.
Too.
It's an extraordinary thing.
It's really good. And I think our Greek system has really helped. You know, it gives you something in mind if you come back, say, 10 years later. You know, you got a place to go, and you got to see, you're going to see some, you know, at homecoming. We always try to do that or try to, but there's a lot of, Troy University has got, you know, a lot of advantage why a student would want to come here.
Absolutely.
The faculty is great. It's just unreal. And moving, you know, we're moving up and up because of client, and if we got to get the best accreditation for our School of Business, which is just really, really important. You know, we had a dean that lost his job because he was trying to accredit the School of Business.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something to laugh about today, but it was a crying situation then because he had come here and recognized the need for doing that. But the timing just wasn't right.
But, yeah, we've got a Judson, we've got a really terrific leader for this. Dean for the School of Business, right now, Dr. Judson Edwards.
He's going to get us this accreditation.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just so glad that he's an undergraduate from this university.
Yes, you know, an alumni from here.
You know, you would meet him somewhere in Atlanta or something other than say, "Did you go to Emory or did you?" But he's really good. And all our deans, you know, we're moving on. We haven't to. Education is just like everything else. It's changing so much.
Sure.
You miss a week, you're behind.
Yeah, I mean, that's the truth.
I mean, it's changing, and students are changing. You know, Popular Mechanics ran a survey and out of noted people, you know, that knew what is the most advanced gadget ever invented. And, you know, you had the TV, you had the telephone, you had everything. But do you know what it was?
No.
The smartphone.
Oh.
It was decided by Popular Mechanics, by noted people that researched it and everything.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing thing. I mean, it's just absolutely
amazing.
Yeah,
you've got a computer in your hand, connection to the world.
It's going to get a lot of people in trouble, but it's going to help a lot of people.
This is true. Dr. Hawkins, thank you so much for making time to talk to us today about your book. The book, again, Turning Points, History of Troy University. Dr. Douglas Hawkins, the author, available at Barnes & Noble, Jeans Flowers, Antiques on the Square, at the Alumni House, Troy Animal Clinic. You have a passing familiarity with that place.
And my truck.
and
my truck down.
Thank you so much for being with us.
And I've always appreciated your program very much.
Well, thank you so much for that, sir.
Thanks again for joining us on the Book Show.
Dr. Doug Hawkins, Chairman of the Board Emeritus to the Board of Trustees of Troy University. His new book, Turning Points, A History of Troy University.
And thanks, Dr. Doug, for being a great friend to WTBF Radio and to On the Bookshelf.
I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks for listening. See you next time, and God bless.